All right, it's a big week for golf because Koepka and Bryson are playing their match on Friday, and Tiger Woods went viral swinging a club for the first time in just under a year, hitting
also
an 8-iron.
Also got a guy from Saski who can comment on our last conversation.
That's a very good point. Here he is, one of our favorites, Canadian pro golfer, TSN golf analyst Graham Dillette, joining us here on Overdrive. What's happening, Graham?
Fellas, how are you?
Very good. Yeah, we had Darren Dreger on, who's a Saskatchewan farm boy, and he suggested, well, he didn't suggest it, he stated it, that people eat squirrel on the prairies.
That's something I don't know, but I bet it would be good if you smoked it nicely, yeah.
Dude, what the hell are you talking about? How do you properly cook a squirrel?
No, I've never heard of that one.
Well,
so,
yeah.
Let me ask you, you're on your barbecue all the time. What would you do to the squirrel? You obviously take the fur off it. How are you seasoning this thing?
Yeah, you gotta gut it, take the fur off, and then I'd probably go pretty hot and fast and with some, maybe I'd probably rub it with some canola oil or something like that, some butter, something, just avocado oil, some barbecue rub, and stick it on there hot and fast and just hope for the best. Like, I don't know. What's the best part of the squirrel? The thighs, probably.
Yeah, it would be. They do have pretty big thighs. They got a good thigh game, the squirrel. They got a decent thigh game. And yeah,
they
man,
can jump.
Absolutely they can. So there's got to be something to give there.
Can you imagine you're a young basketball player, you just started dialing in squirrels every day, and absolutely Air Jordan dunks from everywhere?
No one's tried it.
It's worth a shot. People in Saskatchewan probably have.
Are there any hoopers from Saskatchewan that are notable right now?
I don't think anyone
worth looking into. Yeah. I'm telling you what, I'm going to find that guy from Saski that does Air Jordan dunks from half court.
We need to find him. And if Squirrel is behind it, we might all have to get into it if we want to get back on the courts. What did you make of the Tiger Woods 3-second 8-iron? What's your professional assessment of that video?
Well, I mean, I've only seen it about 40 million times from everyone who retweeted, and the Golf Channel has it playing basically on repeat. But obviously, from a golfer's perspective and any golf fan, you love to see it. I mean, the guy is why golf is what it is right now. He's why I played the sport, and he's why the purses are what they're at. And his swing looked good. Obviously, it was, you know, just a pretty controlled little 8-iron or whatever it was. But it's a start, and you got to start somewhere. So, yeah, it looked pretty good. The balance was nice. I don't know what he was wearing there on his leg. It's, you know, that full compression thing. So I don't know if he's still dealing with something or if that's just cosmetic or whatever it is. But, yeah, it looked good.
By watching that video, and on this show we like to jump to stupid conclusions. So does our boss because he loves Tiger Woods. I say he plays at Augusta National next year.
100%. That's the first thing I saw. I'm like, it's April. That's what he's shooting for right now. I don't think there's any question.
No, I'm with you, man. I hope so. And this is the beauty of Twitter, is that underneath the tweet, there's a guy, like, there's 48 handicaps who are like, I don't know if I love the swing. And it's like, right. Guys are breaking down Tiger's swing. And the last time they played, they shot 128 on a Muni.
100%.
That's the beauty of it. And yeah, we're all seeing the same picture here, man, that he's got that in mind. And always talks about it. You've been down there a million times, Graham, like the hills and how deceptive it is on TV, like how difficult that is to walk Augusta National. Do you think if he gets the swing dialed in, the most challenging part could actually be him just walking 18 holes day in, day out?
Yeah, possibly. And they've been kind of like, I wouldn't say secretive, but they're not really letting anyone know exactly how this recovery is going and what kind of state that he's in, you know, from a walking standpoint or working out standpoint or anything like that. But even when you're in good shape and you're walking every single week, week in and week out, 30 weeks a year playing golf, it's a tough walk. You know, there's certain times where you stop and catch your breath before you hit a shot because, you know, it's a bit of a challenging walk. And the side hills are that's the thing that's like hard on guys that have bad knees and hips and ankles, those side hills, and there's a lot of those out there. So, you know, but more than anything, I think everyone is just excited to see him hitting balls, and just the thought of him coming back gets everyone kind of fired up again, doesn't it?
Dude, we were saying, if this is like Tiger's back Masters or maybe Torrey Pines or something, it will get way more coverage just because of social media nowadays. And I don't know, it's like Tiger Woods' comeback will be on steroids, Graham. It would be just nonstop, like range 24/7, walking to the range. It'll be the full meal deal if he plays again this year.
For sure. And it's crazy to think that, I mean, if he, I mean, this is like crazy to think that if he wins here in 2022 Masters, it'd be a bigger win than his 2019 Masters, which was like out of control, right? Like that was absurd that he even did that. And you can't put anything past him, especially on that golf course and the way that he's, you know, kind of mentally like different than everyone else. Like, you know that he'll at least be mentally ready. And it's just like, if his body can hold up and his physical game is there, I mean, why wouldn't you expect him to be in the mix on Sunday afternoon?
I know. I so desperately want to see it just because of the overblown coverage, which may not be overblown, actually. I don't know if we could define that appropriately, because if he does make this return, it'll be basically a year after the accident, 13, 14 months after he almost lost his life. You weren't sure if he was going to walk again. If he gets up there and plays, like live from the Masters on the Golf Channel, it'll be comical how many different angles they're going to come up with for Tiger. And I'd probably feel bad for Hideki Matsuyama. Like, the last year's champ will show up, they probably will not mention his name at any point.
It's probably nice for everyone else to completely fly under the radar, in all honesty. And the only person who really handles all that attention well is Tiger, really.
Right.
You know, I think Brooks actually handles it pretty well, like in his own way or whatever. But a lot of guys don't like that limelight or whatever. And Tiger's just lived in it his whole life, and he knows how to do it. And it's probably good for Hideki, really, in all honesty. But, you know, like, who's cheering for Hideki if Tiger's playing next semester or next spring? Like, let's be honest.
Graham, the fall tour, it used to be guys kind of, I think, trying to sneak in an event. It seems like a lot of really good players are playing these kind of events that were never played before. Are you noticing that, or what's up with that?
Yeah, well, I think there's a few different reasons. I mean, with the FedEx pool so big now and being increased next year, guys want to get a little bit of a jump start. You know, I remember my rookie season was the last year that it wasn't part of the wraparound calendar. So it was just like six tournaments at the end of the year to try to keep your job for guys. So no one played other than the guys who are, you know, trying to basically make money to keep their job. And now the purses, so back then the purses were like $4.5 to $5.5 million. This is looking back like 2010. Now these purses are all $7-8 million. Like, there's reason to go play and have a nice Christmas. You know, you have a couple good weeks. Like, what did McKenzie cash there last week? Probably close to $800,000. Like,
right. That
makes the Christmas ham taste a little bit better. You know what I mean? So, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, with Graham Dillette, no kidding, man. McKenzie Hughes, he loves Sea Island. He loves that RSM, man. He won that back in 16, I think it was. And he was pretty dialed in.
There's a thing, like, when you kind of get vibes on a golf course, and sometimes it's not the course doesn't even suit you, but you played well there, and then you kind of go back there again, and you're like, oh, I played well here once, why can't I do it again? And you would expect him to, you know, like, have a career at that golf course or at that tournament where, you know, over the course, if you look back, if he has a 15-year career, you'd be like, holy, I mean, this guy made $6 million at that one event because he just, you know, you start feeling it. And it was awesome to see. And it was unfortunate that he wasn't able to, like, be right in the mix and put a little bit of pressure on, but he played great, and there's nothing to hang his head about, that's for sure.
No, it's a lot of money, man. It's a lot of money, and that's what we try to do a few times a week on this show. We pick losers more often than not. We don't really pick winners in the NFL. We pick losers, and then the other guy just wins because he didn't get a say in it, and it actually worked out in their favor. But you're familiar with the way this works. We're going to bring Al's brother in studio here. This is the first time we've ever done this, made picks with a celebrity capper on the line. And Graham Dillette.
Who's like, a celebrity?
You are, bud. You're the big NFL dude. You love the NFL. You love putting some scratch on
the NFL. You faded a bunch of Hazy's
picks. I like the
picks.
Gamble, yeah.
Yeah.
I have, actually. I actually have done pretty well fading you, but I think you hit the last one, didn't you, Hazy?
I did hit the last one, but the first two.
And I didn't give you credit.
No.
I should have given you credit.
I don't blame you on that, man. Listen, the first two, you're like, all right, fading, and I was like, oh, it's going to fade, too, and it did. But Al's brothers in studio. Al's brother. Now you got an audience, man. It's one thing to talk down to me and O because we don't know what the hell we're talking
Fair.
About. Graham
You're
Gillette
be judged here.
Yeah. How do you feel about this, Al's brother? Can you make picks under pressure or what?
Well, I think I can still Let's make see. Some picks. I think I think Graham's probably going to have some things to fire back with if he doesn't agree with my picks. Some
okay.
stuff that maybe not be handy, but I'm sure GD's done a little bit of research and maybe he might be able to talk me out of some stuff. I don't know.
Okay. All right, here we go. We got a 3-pack hazy, and
yes.
you have the first game, which is an absolute pile of garbage.
It's a pile of garbage. It's an absolute dog's fest. And the Thanksgiving NFL picks are back and brought to you by BookSeats.com. Visit at BookSeats.com to enter the Las Vegas Sports Package giveaway. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. Again, at BookSeats.com on Instagram. Great follow and the go-to getaway in sports right now. Bears -3. This number's gone down. It was 3.5, was it not yesterday?
It was.
Honestly, I think the fact that Matt Nagy got a vote of confidence today by the owner is why the number is moving towards the Lions. And I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to take the dogs here. I think the Lions, they're going to get a win at some point. Dan Campbell.
That is outrageous.
He loves garbage pick.
Hang on a sec. So it's -3. You're taking Detroit?
I'm taking Detroit. I'm going to take the points at home with Detroit.
GD,
they love Thanksgiving.
Please comment.
It's their tradition.
GD, please comment.
I'm not a believer in Justin Fields and haven't been since the day that they started him at quarterback, and I'm going Lions money line.
Ooh, Let's I go. Love the Lions money line. I said that yesterday too, Graham. See, look at us. We're fading these two buffoons. Al's brother, I'm sure you have a reason why this is the worst pick in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, wait till you hear this, Graham. Go ahead, Al's brother.
Well, I mean, Justin Fields isn't even going to play tomorrow, actually. It's going to be Andy Dalton
who's going to be
in there. And look, Andy Dalton has been a decent quarterback for his career. He mustered up some points and ended up getting the cover last week for Chicago. But you take a look at last time these two teams played. Chicago outbeat them. They were a 7-point spread. They covered that. It was a 24-14 victory. And how they did that, they ran the football. That's exactly what they did. You had 158 total rushing yards, and the Detroit Lions are 31st in the league when it comes to stopping the run. You're going to have David Montgomery out there. He's going to do his thing, so it doesn't even matter who's throwing the rock because they're just going to pound the football down the throats of the Lions. They're going to cover. The Bears are 4-1 against teams with a losing record. That's exactly what the winless Detroit Lions are. I love that we are on the Bears tomorrow.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
This is what happens.
If I had a paragraph to read in front of me, I could have come up with something. I just didn't prepare like that.
Graham, it doesn't matter. This guy, he couldn't pick
Dude,
a winner.
Dude, at least you could say one thing. We're prepared. We're prepared.
Absolutely, you're prepared.
And the sharp money right now is on the Detroit Lions. I'll give you that. The sharp
Thank
money's
you,
on the Lions
brother,
at 65%.
You didn't want to admit that.
But the public is also on the Lions, too. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, because everyone knows Matt Nagy sucks as a coach. And
yeah,
there's
100%.
Nothing. The fact that he got the vote of confidence today.
Biting kneecaps
so,
is much better.
Yeah, Dan Campbell, I don't know if he's any better. He can't be any worse. But this is perfect for Dan Campbell. Biting kneecaps, biting squirrel.
This game, there should be a category on shart money. Where is the shart money on this game? The shart money is on Detroit.
This is exactly what it is. When two of the worst teams in the league and the money's on the worst of the two.
Where's the shart money?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of that money probably came in, though, when they had the hook at 3.5. Now that it's down to 3, I could see it evening out a little bit and having some more people take that even 3 and be on the Bears.
I would love that extra half.
All right, GD, here's where we really shine. Next game, Hazy. Al's brother, explain our pick.
Vegas at Dallas. Dallas laying 7.5. Big spread.
That's a big number. That's a really big number. But honestly, last week the Dallas Cowboys let us down. We took them. We thought they were going to go in there and compete with the Chiefs. It just didn't happen. But I think a big reason why it didn't is because they were missing their left tackle Tyron Smith, and the Kansas City defense did a really good job neutralizing him. Tyron Smith is going to be back, and I think that's going to improve the run game and the passing game. The offense, Dak Prescott, they're going to get back on track. You talk about how I think the Bears are going to run the football. The Dallas Cowboys, when they're rolling, when they're rocking, they do the same thing. And the Raiders, just like the Lions, terrible run defense, ranked 29th in the league. So I think they pound the rock. I could see them going in and beating them big. And when you look at the Las Vegas Raiders, a big reason why they were winning early on was because Henry Ruggs was catching some deep balls out there, but more importantly, Derek Carr was protecting the football. He has not been protecting the football over the last little bit. He's been coughing it up as much as Carson Wentz, realistically. Right. I think that continues against a pretty stout Dallas Cowboys defense that limited a Chiefs offense that was rolling.
All right, he's going to hang up. Who are we taking? Yeah. Who are we taking?
We're on the Cowboys.
They're on the Cowboys. Go ahead, Graham, if you're still with us. Can you believe this is what I have to deal with every week.
There's a lot.
I am a Raiders fan. I was at the game, the Chiefs game. It was kind of embarrassing, but we hit the over late for a big parlay, so it was worth the trip. But I honestly, I got to go against my team on this one. I go Cowboys big here. I think you're exactly right. They just got no jam left. And they, like you said, they can't stop the run. I mean, like, obviously it's not Patrick Mahomes running the show, but Dak's pretty good and Zeke, and they got my boy Kellen Moore as their offensive coordinator, former Boise State guy. I think he's going to get a head coaching job pretty soon. And I'm on the Cowboys. I'm going to buy that half point though. But for the show, I'll say 7.5.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's, I mean, it's a big number, and I'm everything, everything you detail there, Els Brother.
Do you want the one little piece of news that may go in your favor that I know you're going to love?
Yes.
The Cowboys are 1-9 against the spread in their last 10 Thanksgiving outings.
There it is. They suck at home on Thanksgiving. That is all I needed to hear. Everything else
I'm
is
a big trends guy, though. I like to follow the trends.
There you go. Well, the trends would indicate the Raiders are going to maybe not only just cover but roll tomorrow. We'll see. All right, the final game of the nightcap, Bills laying 6 at New Orleans. Now, Kamara will not play. Ingram, I believe, is questionable. I think he's going to go. Ryan Ramczyk, a big part of their O-line, not going to play. We know they're, you know, Winston's out. They're quarterbackless. I don't love this game at all, I have to be honest. I don't love the spread because the way the Bills have been playing.
I know.
The Bills have not been playing well. It's a short week on the road. The Superdome is going to be going nuts. But I think the Bills are better than what they've been showing. And I think in the NFL, what you do is you respond. And they have to respond. They got embarrassed at home last week. I think they do. I'm going to lay the points. I'm going to take Buffalo. I'm going to take Buffalo to get back on the horse. Dillette, what do you think of that?
Everything you said for the exact same reasons. That was an embarrassing outing last week, and they're good to go. Josh Allen's too good, man. He's not going to be like that 2 weeks in a row.
Yep,
they got him.
Bills,
they did respond, but it was against Miami earlier.
Look at us two, man. This is not good. This is really not good. Something's got to give at some point here. How's brother? Oh, how do you feel about that? You're on the home team getting 6. That's a big spread, man, at home. The Superdome.
I think
you know
there's something up in Buffalo, I'm telling you. I think, although they did respond, first game of the year they lost to Pitt. Then they went down to Miami and absolutely beat the pants off of the Dolphins. But that's the Dolphins. I do think there might be something up with Buffalo, though. Maybe they stink the joint out. Al's brother, comment.
I mean, the New Orleans Saints are going to have an opportunity here just because of the way that the Bills have been playing. Like they've just been stinker after stinker, and a big reason for it is they're missing their right tackle Spencer Brown, who's a third round pick. And when he's out, this team's offense doesn't perform as well because they're not able to protect and they're not able to open up holes for the run game, which they realistically don't run that much. But I can see them maybe keeping it close. But to be honest with you, I think the Bills will also get the win. But
you like the Bills?
A couple of trends that I do like, which me and O will cling on to and hope that do come to fruition. The Bills are 1-3-1 against the spread, and their last 5 is the favorite. So they're not covering when they're favorited. The Saints, 8-2 against the spread, their last 10 as the home dog, and 4-1 as a home dog when they're the dog by a touchdown or less. So, well, you know, they keep it close. They got good
favorable.
Coaching. Good coaching.
Screens backdoor cover. You know, that's. I think the Bills, this is a must-win for the Bills. I think New Orleans is punting on the season or getting close to it. But, yeah, we'll
How
see.
How about that Taysom Hill contract yesterday? Did you
I
see
know.
That? Bizarre.
Like, they can't, like, Sean Payton can't get away from him. It was a 4-year deal, his brother, with options and a bunch of guaranteed money.
Well,
and
it's structured in a weird way where he gets, like, bonuses if he plays X amount of snaps as the quarterback. And it's a really bizarre deal, but it's like it seems like he gets an extension every year. But it's a 4-year. It was a 4-year contract.
And they give him all these bonuses, X amount of snaps as a quarterback, and it seems like they never really want him to be the guy. So it's really weird.
He's
bizarre.
Proven who he is. He's not an every-snap quarterback. He's
a trick play guy. He's a side trick. That's what
Sean Payton can't get away from him.
Genius play, though, by the GM, if you think about it. It's like, hey, coach, Payton, how many snaps is this guy going to get a game? He's like, 3. He's like, okay, we'll make a deal here, Taysom. if you get average seven snaps a game, we'll pay you X amount of money. And they're like, perfect, I'll sign here.
He's exactly. Like, they're going to manipulate it. Like, yeah. Peyton's just going to be like, "We're not. I'm not going to let you hit those numbers, for sure."
Exactly.
They're always up against the cap down in New Orleans. He knows it, but we'll see. All right, man. Well, Graham, you good luck, buddy. You're riding
that
the
was,
Ace
That was fun. Hey, Hazy, it was good to be on the same page. Don't sleep on that Florida Panthers minus 1.5 tonight either.
Okay.
Check it out.
We'll jump on that. Thank you, buddy. We'll do it again soon. There's Graham Dillette, one of the great Canadian golfers of all time and true degenerate. That's why he's one of our favorites.